Sunday the 21st of May 2017, Confirmation Service. Bible reading, John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, and our speaker is the Right Reverend Peter Hill, Bishop of Barking.
Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Can we just pray for you, Bishop, before you open that word to us?
That'd be good.
Lord Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful that Bishop Peter is here tonight. And Lord, I make light of the fact that he carries us all on his shoulders, but he really does. He guides your churches in this area. And Lord, I pray your anointing on him for that. I pray that you would bless him with wisdom for that. I pray that you would make clear his path so that he can make clear our paths. And Lord, tonight now as he opens your word, would you anoint him again as he preaches your gospel, as he declares the light of Christ. Be in him and let your words be his words tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Martin. Okay. Just have a think for a minute. Who is it that loves you? Have a think. Have a think again. Who is it that you love? Good. I'm getting some answers. Who is it that loves you, and who is it that you love? And the scripture that's just been so well read for us reminds us in verse 15 of John chapter 14. And these are words, remember, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples the night before his crucifixion. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." How do we do that? How do we love Jesus and keep his commandments? Well, it's got quite a bit to do with this confirmation business that we're going to share in a minute. How do you know that you are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ? Any thoughts? No, you can answer back. How do you know? I'm coming amongst you. Sorry? Yeah, absolutely. Any more? Excellent. I'm giving you a big clue. Okay. This is what they call a pectoral cross. All bishops are supposed to wear these. I don't wear it to bed, but I do wear it most of the time. Okay. And because I'm a Celt, like some of our other brothers here, you worked out where I'm from yet? Any thoughts? I'm not Scottish. Welsh. I'm Welsh, okay? I was born in Swansea, hence my support. I had to be born there. My mother was there at the time. But anyway. That's how we know God in Christ loves us overwhelmingly, absolutely. When he spoke these words, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," the following day, he died out of total and absolute love for you and for me on a cross. Now, I didn't always understand that. Don't think because I'm being a vicar and a bishop and all that jazz. that I've always been a Christian. I haven't. Really grateful for you for giving me your stories in 100 words, your testimonies. Thank you. I've read them. I appreciate it. I've got a story of faith too. I only found the love of God, the penny dropped, when I was 20, and I realized God's overwhelming love for me because Jesus died for me. And my Celtic cross, the cross itself reminds me that Jesus died for me. But like all Celtic crosses, it's got a circle which reminds us that Jesus died for the whole world, for everyone. If you love me, keep my commandments. One of the commands is to go with that love and tell everyone in your words and your deeds. Okay? Right, the story's told of this vicar who was a bit of a do-it-yourself freak. And he loved to sort of sort his vicarage out. He'd sorted it out over the years. It had been a bit of a mess. And now, this day, he decided he'd sort out the path up to the front door because it was all cracked and needed redoing. So he laid new concrete, beautiful concrete path. He spent all day on a Saturday doing it. And those of you who do it yourself, freaks, you know how you do it. You put planks down the side, you mix your concrete, you put it all in, and then you level it, right? See how practical I am? You level it with another plank till it's nice and smooth, and there's more to it than that. And then he stood back and admired his handiwork. He stood there looking at it, and it was wet, but it was going to dry perfectly. At that moment, there were screeches from the fence, from the garden, the other side of the vicarage, and the kid's football came over the wall, plonk, 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 right up his new, damp, concrete path, and messed it up entirely. He lost his rag, and he gave these two boys next door a really good tearing off, at which point his wife happened to come out and stand on the doorstep and said to him, "Don't forget your sermon from last Sunday. Love your neighbor." "Ah," he said, quick as a flash, "but I meant love in the abstract, not in the concrete." There's one for you. My jokes are worse than this. However, there is a serious point. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ, this love that he's talking about, it's not any old love. It's total, concrete, absolute love. It's not airy-fairy stuff. If you know, some of you will know, there are four words for love in the New Testament, the original language, the Greek language. We've only got one in English. Greek's got four. There's a word for friendship love, there's a word for erotic love, and there's a word for family, parental love. But this is a different love. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's sacrificial, total, absolute, concrete love. That's the one you come to tonight and say, "You've loved me to the end. I'm coming to you. I'll follow you for the rest of my life in that love." Absolute, total, sacrificial. Okay, that's by way of introduction. So what does confirmation mean? Anybody give me a... You've all been prepared. What's it all about? Pardon?
It's when you confirm your faith in whatever your faith is.
Let me get this mic. Say again.
It's when you confirm what your faith is.
Fantastic. When you confirm what your faith is. Anybody want to say, thanks, Daniel. Anybody want to say a bit more? You're a lot counted in. You can ask as well, right? Answer, I mean. Any other thoughts?
It's about proclamation of your faith.
It is about the proclamation of your faith. You're confirming your faith publicly, and the fact that you're going to proclaim it publicly by your words and deeds in the future. Oops, I'm destroying everything. So, Let me just unwrap that a bit more for you. How many of you can remember your baptism or your christening, whatever word you prefer? Show me a paw if you can remember it. So you were older. You made your own promises. How many of you cannot remember your baptism? Because you were a baby or a toddler, like me. I was baptized in a tin shed of a church in Swansea, which I can't remember it, but my parents and godparents made the promises on my behalf. They've pulled the church down now, that's how good I was. But there's the word confirmation. What you're going to do tonight, yes, is proclaim your faith, but you're going to confirm your baptism promises. Whether you made them yourself a few years ago, as an adult or a teenager, or whether somebody else made them for you. Are you with me? Now that's the official explanation. And in the scripture here, there's a much more powerful explanation in a way, because Jesus, the next verse, verse 16, says, I'm going to pray to my Father and he will send you another helper, the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit, God's other helper himself, to come to you in a different way, a more powerful way tonight, fill your lives afresh. We pray for everybody like that, but we're going to pray for you especially. You're going to confirm your baptism promises and ask God to refill you with his Spirit. Okay? But let me give you my very favorite explanation of confirmation. It's got nothing to do with a glass of water. I'm just thirsty. This little book I've had for 30 years. I used to be a primary school teacher. Okay? Somebody went into primary schools and asked children in about year 6 and 5, so about your age, to write a prayer to God. And the book's called, you can see it, Children's Letters to God, right? And inside, they're all printed in the handwriting of the children. Not printed poshly. And some of them are simple prayers, some of them are profound, some of them are funny, and some of them are all three. And this is my favorite. And for me, this is the absolute total explanation of confirmation. You ready? This is what you're going to do in a few minutes. There it is. Dear God, count me in. Your friend, Herbie. That's it. That's confirmation. It's baptism as well. Count me in. Your friend, Amy, your friend, Daniel, your friend, Somto, your friend, Amelia, count me in. That's what you're going to say to God. Count me in for the rest of your life, my life. Fill me with your Spirit as you count me in. And I know I'm counted in because you died for me, and you rose from the dead to prove your mighty power. So, last question before we actually come to do the business. What happens next? Any thoughts? What happens next? Now, there may be people sitting here tonight who haven't been baptized or confirmed or have sort of moved away from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a challenge to you as you see people confirm their faith tonight. It's a challenge to you, and it's a challenge afresh to me of where I am with God. What happens next? How it started for me was somebody pointed me to Jesus and then got me to read John's Gospel. And the living Jesus came alive to me when I was 20 years old, from argumentative atheism to faith in Christ. It was a girl that pointed me to Jesus. I became a Christian over the next few weeks. And then she dumped me. We are, that's the way it is. So if any of you are sort of on the edge or dipping a toe in or you want a refresher, I haven't got John's gospel, I got a shorter one, because the shortest gospel is Mark, okay? And there are some Mark's gospels near the tea bar at the back. Ask me for one at the door if you want to check out the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for all of us. But what happens next after that? Like me, what happens next? What happens next is what counts. Tomorrow at this time, next week at this time, at school, at work, at home, in the family, in the neighbourhood, in church. Church is the hardest place to be a disciple of Jesus, it seems to me, because we're close together. We can sometimes drive one another crazy. We're family. What really counts is what happens next. Will you go out in your words and deeds to show how you are with Jesus? There's a little ditty that I like, and then I'll tell you a final story. You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do and the things that you say. Others read what you write, be it faithless or true. Just what is the gospel according to you and to me? In your words, your deeds, your actions, the way you are, the way you speak, sharing your story. I asked you to write in 100 words, by the way, so that I used to teach my people when I was a vicar to learn their story in less than 100 words. And when somebody asks you, you're always prepared to say, this is what happened to me. This is why I'm a Christian. Here's the final story. It's about what happens next. Baby camel was talking to a mother camel. You heard this story? Okay. I'm glad of that. Baby camel's talking to a mother camel. Mum, why have we got these great big humps on our back? Oh, that's easy, darling. When we're in the desert, you see, there's no water. And those humps, we carry water in so we don't get thirsty. Oh, okay. Mum, why have we got these great big eyelashes as camels? Oh, yeah, there's a good reason, too. That's because when we're in the desert, there's a sandstorm, and these eyelashes keep the sand out of our eyes so we can still see where we're going. Okay, that sounds good. Mum, why have we got these big clumpy feet? Oh, yeah, well, that's because when we're in a sandstorm in the desert and everything shifts around with the sand, our big feet can help us to walk solidly and safely. Ah, okay. Mum, why are we in London Zoo? The good news of Jesus' love is not for keeping in here in church, it's for taking out there in our lives, our words, our deeds and our actions. That's what happens next, and that's the challenge of Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Are you ready to confirm your faith? Okay, let's do it.